In this episode, we'll learn about the most southern city in the world.
By the way, real quick, before we jump into the episode, I just want to say that one of the reasons, you probably already know that, but one of the reasons I create all this content is to meet people from around the world, and not just me to meet the people, but the people to meet themselves. And one of the bad things about podcasting is that there are no comments, like you cannot comment. So I'm thinking, let's try and fix that. So I'm opening a hashtag, Curious Pavel Podcast. You know, it's so funny. It's kind of difficult to find a hashtag that nobody has ever used before. So I just want to have a hashtag just for us, just for the podcast. So you want to communicate with other people who are listening to the podcast, Curious Pavel Podcast hashtag, use it on Instagram or LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you prefer. Just let's start using it and let's start connecting. Let's meet people from around the world. Curious Pavel Podcast. Go share a post and let's communicate. Let's meet new people. And let's go to the episode.
Hello, Alex. Welcome back for another episode. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Pavel. It's, again, a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, what do you think about the applauses? You didn't get this last time.
I know, I'm not used to it, this kind of treatment. So I can get used to it.
No problem. I'm going to give you more applauses maybe throughout the episode, or at least at the end. Great pleasure to have you once again after the Lincoln episode. You shared so much knowledge with us. And now I'm really excited to hear more about a place I have never been to, a place that I'm not sure if I'm going to go to, but a place that is your favorite place in the world. That's a big statement. It's called Patagonia. Where shall we begin? I'm really lost. Where shall I start in this episode? Maybe why did you decide to go there at the first place?
Yeah, sure. And also I just kind of explain, because sometimes when I tell people that Patagonia is like one of my favorite places I've been to, a lot of people don't actually know kind of where it is or if it's a country or so I can just kind of explain a bit about that. But when Lisa and I went traveling, went on a long trip traveling around the world, we spent several months, I think it was 5-6 months in South America, and we did our research and we're really enthusiastic about big outdoor spaces. We like hiking, we like mountains, lakes, that kind of, I mean, we love cities as well, but we wanted to really mix in a lot of big outdoor experiences. And I remember several years ago now when we were doing our initial research, and you know when you go into a new place, you look at things like what are the best things to see here. So there were often like these really iconic landmarks or like natural landmarks that came up that were in the Patagonia region, which I'll talk through some of those. And we just saw these pictures and they're like, wow, that just looks incredible. We have to go there. And then when we did go there, it's one of those places where the pictures are just, it's impossible to communicate the sheer scale of the natural wonders that you see in Patagonia in a photograph. Like some of the glaciers and granite towers and mountains. Like it is just like another world. Like after Patagonia, the first place we went to was pretty much New Zealand. Now New Zealand is incredible. We went to the South Island of New Zealand, but almost it was a little bit like, we've just been to Patagonia. The South Island of New Zealand is beautiful, but it's not quite Patagonia. No offense at all to your listeners who love New Zealand, but it just was not quite on the same level. It's hard to explain. But just to explain like what Patagonia is, so for anyone who doesn't know, it's not a country, it's actually a region which is in the very far south of South America. But it's absolutely huge. It covers more than a million square kilometers. It covers an area that is more than three times the size of Germany. And it straddles across both Argentina and Chile. So it covers two different countries, but it is basically, when you go to the very far south of Patagonia, you're kind of like at the southernmost tip of civilization without going as far as Antarctica. Ushuaia, which is the southernmost city in Patagonia, which is in Argentina, is the southernmost city in the world. So you are really kind of like, it's like you're going to the end of the world, and the scenery there has this kind of feeling about it. It feels bleak and kind of daunting and dramatic, but it's also really, really beautiful. And it has this feeling that you're kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Wait.
So that's just a quick background about Patagonia.
Ushuaia? Is that what you call it?
Ushuaia, yes.
So that's the southest. Really? I thought it's in Africa. It's somewhere in South Africa is the southest point.
No, Ushuaia is the world's southernmost city.
Not point, but just city.
Oh, no, I think now you may need to do a fact check on this, but the southernmost point is just off the tip beneath Ushuaia. So the southernmost tip of Patagonia is further south than South Africa, I believe.
Okay.
It's possible I'm wrong.
Okay. So you went, where did you go?
So we visited several places, and just again to communicate the scale, when you visit Patagonia, you need to allow a lot of time because the various places you want to visit, there are vast distances between them, and it's often a day's worth of traveling from one place to the next. So we actually started in Ushuaia when on our main visit. We had a couple of different visits to Patagonia, but on our main trip, we started in Ushuaia, which is kind of known as the city at the end of the world. It's in it's on the edge of Tierra del Fuego National Park, and some other sites of interest we visited. So that's on the Argentina side. Then we traveled north and we went into the Chilean side.
By the way, real quick, I quickly fact checked it, and you're right. It's the southest city, the southernmost city in the world. So yeah, I just wanted to approve it.
Cool. Yeah. And as I say, it has that feeling about it. When you're in Ushuaia, one of the things you can do there is there's something called the train to the end of the world, and it's this like historic train line that used to carry materials between the city and the mountain. And it's just really scenic as well. You can see across the ocean along the Beagle Channel, and you can see views of the national park as well on the mountains. So it's just a really beautiful experience. And you can take a ferry from the city out into the Beagle Channel, past a famous lighthouse called Les Éclaireuses Lighthouse. And you see, then you see penguins, and you see sea lions and lots of other really interesting wildlife there. So we spent 5 days in Ushuaia, and a lot of people we met spent shorter. A lot of people would go to Ushuaia for like a day or two before jetting off to the next place. We spent 5 days there, and we could have spent a lot longer. Like, there's so much to see and do, and it's just a really nice place to chill and relax as well. So
Wait, what did you say? This lighthouse is famous. Why is it famous?
I believe it's just because of its the iconic look, where you have the red and white stripes, but also when you sail past it, you'll see the penguins on the island behind. But also, once your boat has sailed past it from the city side, then you there's this view that you have of the lighthouse with Ushuaia in the distance behind it, and it's just a really beautiful view. It's one of the famous landmarks around the city.
Okay. So what else did you do 5 days over there?
In Ushuaia, so we explored a couple of museums. So there's an old prison there that was active until maybe a few decades ago. And it was used, they often shipped political prisoners from Buenos Aires down to Ushuaia, and lots of the old prison has been kept in its original form, but they have also introduced a maritime museum there. So it's really interesting to go to the old prison museum and the maritime museum and learn about the history. Then we did some hikes as well. So we went up to a glacier called Marcial Glacier, and then there's a lagoon called Laguna Esmeralda on the other side of the city. And we also went into the national park. So we went into Tierra del National Park and did some hiking there. So if you have a few days, you can really mix going to see these some of the sites around the city itself, like the museums, and walking along the promenade, with spending some time doing some walking and hiking, if that's the kind of thing you like to.
Okay, I'm just browsing the lagoon here, and it looks Looks really nice, especially if you don't, I was just going to say, especially if you don't have people, you know, of course you get some people browsing around, but really, really nice. So when would you say is the best time to visit?
Right. So yeah, just Patagonia in general, and I'll obviously tell you a bit more about other places in Patagonia, but so the high season for Patagonia is in the summer, which is actually in December to February. But that's when the conditions are best for like hiking, but it's also when you will find the most tourists there. Now, it never gets really busy in Patagonia, but if you prefer to kind of avoid the crowds a little bit, mm-hmm. then what we recommend is to go in what are called the shoulder seasons. And in particular, the season before the summer. So if you go kind of October, November, it's just, that's kind of the spring season. And the conditions are, or it's already warming up. The conditions are fine for hiking. The national parks are open. The prices are a little bit cheaper in some places. You can get cheaper tours, but it's also a little bit quieter as well. Like we did the W Trek in Torres del Paine, which is one of the world's most famous multi-day trails. We did that at like the end of October, beginning of November, during the shoulder season. And it was amazing. We had one day where we, not saying we don't like seeing people, but there was like a whole day where we hardly passed anyone, and you've just kind of got the park to yourself. I mean, you will see people at any time of the year there, but it's just a little bit quieter around there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was a good tip. All right, so what did you do after you left that city?
Yeah, so the next major thing we did was after Ushuaia was the W Trek. So this is in Torres del Paine National Park, which is on the Chile side of Patagonia. Now, Torres del Paine is like possibly the single most beautiful place I've ever seen with my eyes in real life. And the thing about Torres del Paine National Park is, I know, often when you go hiking, when you go on a hike, the idea is that you'll have a payoff at the end of the hike. Like you'll spend a day hiking and then at the end, you'll finish at the top somewhere and have a great view.
And you're like, exactly. Oh, it was all worth it.
Yeah, but the thing about Torres del Paine is that there's just constant amazing everywhere. Views the whole way around. Like, it's a huge park. Like the W Trek, there's different treks you can do. We did the W Trek, which takes 4 or 5 days at a steady pace. Elite hikers might do it in less, but there's also an O Trek, and these are all by the shape of the trek. So the O Trek goes around the whole park. The mm-hmm. W Trek does like the shape of a W.
Yeah.
And so along the way you will see like there's the famous view of Las Torres, which is like these towers over a lagoon. And then there's Grey Glacier, which is this huge glacier that's on the South Patagonian ice field. And the middle part of the W Trek is Mirador Britannico, which where you get a view over the park. But all the way around, you're just surrounded by mountains, lakes. Every step of the way is just an incredible view. And it just took our breath away. It was hard work, like not an easy hike, but I've never felt so fulfilled, to be honest.
So I suppose you have somebody who's leading you, right?
You can't. We chose not to. So a few months before we did this, we did the Inca Trail in Peru, and we did that on a guided tour, which I think you have to on the Inca Trail. But when we did the W Trek, we decided to try it on our own because we'd had a bit more experience by then. Mm. And you have to be really well organized because the campsites you stay in, all the refugios, they get booked up in advance. And you can't just turn up and do the hike. You've got to have things booked if you're doing it without a guided tour. So it's important to mention that. But you can take guided tours, but it's also possible to do it independently. We chose to do that. And we're like intermediate hikers. We're not experts. And we found it okay.
Mm. Okay. So how many days you said that took? You said 4 or 5 days, right?
We took 4 nights. And it took us, 4 days, 4 nights camping.
I see. Okay, well, I mean, the pictures that are showing, I can see that you're just amazed by the view constantly. I don't know if it's somebody like me. I mean, if I need to take a lot of pictures, it's gonna take me an extra day probably. Over there. Okay, so you spent 4 or 5 days over there at that trek. Then what was your next stop? Where did you go after that?
Right, so the next place was another place for some hiking. So we went, we crossed the border back onto the Argentina side. And we stopped at two places. So first of all, we stopped by at El Calafate, which is famous for being the kind of the town, which is the base from where you can see Perito Moreno Glacier. So Perito Moreno Glacier is one of the single most impressive sites that you can see in Patagonia, or indeed in the whole of South America. It's a colossal glacier. You can actually go hiking on top of the glacier. We didn't do that. But you can visit the glacier. You can take a boat out right in front of it. You can do a little walk, a little walk that goes in front of the glacier. But you do this from, so we based, we spent two nights in the town of El Calafate, which itself is a really nice town. There's a couple of cool little restaurants. There's an ice bar. There's an ice museum as well. So it's a great place to stop off for two or three days, go and see the glacier, also go and spend some time in the town as well. And after we went to El Calafate, we then went another stop a few hours up the road to another little town in Argentina called El Chalten. So but El Chalten is it's like a little mountain village, but it's on the doorstep of some really excellent hikes. So the most famous one goes to Mount Fitzroy. You can do it in a day return hike from El Chalten, but we did two nights, 3 days, where we did like a loop where we went to Mount Fitzroy and also some other mountains and lagoons around there. Cerro Torre is another beautiful mountain. And again, similar to Torres del Paine, you can do guided hikes there, but we did that self-guided. It's another really spectacular place. And if you don't have time to go to Torres del Paine and you want to experience some of the beautiful Patagonian views and is a little bit of an easier hike compared to Torres del Paine, then El Chalten in Argentina and hike to Mount Fitzroy is a really great alternative if you have less time.
Okay, well, it seems like you did a lot of walking in that month that you spent in Patagonia. But how did you travel in between the places?
Right, so we traveled by bus. And for us, we thought that was really the best way to do it. There are not many, the airports that exist in Patagonia, the services to them are often very expensive. They're often very sparse. And especially when it involves going between Chile and Argentina. And to be honest, we found the buses really comfortable. They're quite long journeys, but they're really comfortable buses. Sometimes it was a long day journey. And actually taking the bus was really cool because you see a lot of the scenery along the way. And it's an iconic road in Argentina. You go up the Ruta 40, which is really iconic road. If you want to hire a car and go on a road trip, it'd be really cool as well.
Okay, but I mean, you can hire a car, but probably would be easier with the bus because you can rest even on the bus, you know, have some sleep after long hikes.
Absolutely. And that's how we did it. I'd really recommend that as well.
All right. Is that the route you're talking about?
The view there. So that's the Ruta 40, but that's in northern Argentina. We went there as well. But that's so Ruta 40 is thousands of kilometers, it's like 4,000 kilometers long. Something like that. It's one of the longest roads in the world. And you can drive like all the way down. One of our ambitions one day is to drive all the way along the Ruta 40 from northwest Argentina down to Patagonia. It's one of the great road trips that you can do. Because you start near the equator, you start in the tropics and you end near the end of the world. And like up in the northwest area near the tropics, you've got all this red rock scenery, like desert and also wine country. And then you work your way down and you end up in Patagonia. And it's amazing.
Wow. Okay. Anything else? So what did you do after that?
Yeah, one of the places I'll mention, which is, so we worked our way up to El Chalten. Yeah. Now, another place we visited, which is on the northern side of Patagonia, is Bariloche. So this is a city in the Argentina Lake District. You can also go to the Lake District on the Chile side in the north. So the northern part of Patagonia is really characterized by large lakes and that are surrounded by mountains. But Bariloche is kind of a really interesting city itself for the history. So it's kind of nestled next to a large lake called Nahal Huapi. But it's got like an interesting history of European settlement, and it's become like this adventure place as well. So like the World Ski Championships have been held at Bariloche before. I think it has the largest ski resort in South America is at Bariloche. So you can do like, you can do skiing and other winter sports, the Catedral. You can do activities on the river, on the lakes. You can also explore history in the city. They have like famous chocolate shops and beer houses and things as well. There's like a strong German influence, but also as you kind of got the idea as well, we did lots of hiking around the area as well, because it's great for that too.
Yeah, I was thinking about Germany as well. I'm not sure where exactly. I know Germans went to Argentina during and after the Second World War, and I would imagine they have been down south because it's so beautiful. Okay, I see you can get a cruise as well, probably somewhere over there, which is probably an extra points. What else? What did you do after that? Sorry, I keep asking about this, but it's just so interesting that the views are spectacular.
No, so I've kind of covered the main places that we explored, but there's I think there's other honorable mentions that I would give that kind of like high on our radar for when we go back.
Yeah.
So on the Chile side of Patagonia, there is a road trip called the Carretera Austral. So it kind of runs parallel to the Ruta 40, but it's on the Chile side. So it kind of runs through the northern Patagonia to the middle of Patagonia on the Chile side.
What did you say was the name?
Carretera Austral.
Okay.
Found it.
Okay, so what about it?
Yeah, it's just, as I said, just saying, we haven't actually done this ourselves yet, but it's kind of mirrors the kind of experience of the Ruta 40, but it's known for like, again, really dramatic landscapes. You can stop off at little Chilean towns along the way. There's various hikes. So in the last couple of years, Chile has launched a new kind of mega hiking route that goes all the way through Patagonia. It's called the National Route of Parks. And it includes, so Torres del Paine is part of this route. But it's thousands of kilometers of hiking routes that go all the way through Patagonia. And it kind of coincides with the Carretera Austral. So if you take a road trip down the Carretera Austral, you could stop off at different places. You can stop off at little towns, but you could also stop off at different places along the National Route of Parks where you can do different little bits of hiking. It's one of those kind of bucket list things, like to do the Carretera Austral road trip.
Oh, I see a waterfall that's coming from a glacier. That's crazy.
Well, I mentioned before the South Patagonian ice field. So we saw that in a couple of places. I mentioned Perito Moreno Glacier is on the South Patagonian ice field. And the Grey Glacier in Torres del Paine is on the same ice field. It is one of the largest, I think it's the second largest ice field on the planet outside of the South Pole, outside of the Arctic and Antarctic. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a bigger one in Canada, but then also it's basically this huge ice field that covers a lot of Patagonia. So on both the Chilean and the Argentinian side, you can see these really impressive glaciers.
Wow. Okay, you're really satisfying my eyes over here. I'm really enjoying it. Okay, that was an honorable mention, as you said. Is there anything else? Like, I don't know. I can ask you all the time, what did you see next? What did you see next? But if you think there is something else that you would like to add, that's a good time.
Maybe a bit about food and drink. So obviously I've talked about all the scenery, but
good point. When you're totally in Chile I was hypnotized.
Of course, whenever we're traveling in Argentina and Chile, like, the wine, I mean, I believe there is some wine that's actually produced in Patagonia. The climate isn't as good for it as in the northern region. So you've got obviously Mendoza in Argentina and like the various wine regions in Chile, but there is some wine produced in Patagonia, and I think you can do some kind of tasting experiences. But there are some like Chilean barbecue and Argentinian asado kind of barbecue are just really amazing food experiences you can have. Obviously, suited if you eat meat. But for example, when we finished the W trek in Torres del Paine, it was the town we stayed nearby called Puerto Natales. So we treated ourselves to a meal at a place called, I believe it was El Patagonico, at the end of our trek. And they did this like traditional Chilean barbecued lamb. And it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. We had that with a couple of glasses of Chilean red wine. And yeah, out of this world. So something that's well worth trying, if that's the kind of thing you like.
Okay, that's good. So any other place? Is that all about food and drinks that you mentioned? What were you eating? Hold on. What were you eating when you were hiking?
Right, yes. Yeah. So we did a lot of preparation beforehand. One thing to mention, actually, is Patagonia is one of the most expensive places in South America. It's not, is it, in comparison to like European cities, it's maybe not that as expensive, but compared to just in general traveling around South America, it's quite expensive. And especially if you turn up in the rural towns and villages where you're hiking, it's even more expensive there. So there's on our way to Torres del Paine, we stopped in a city called Punta Arenas, which is, I think it's the biggest city in Chile and Patagonia. But they have a place called Zona Franca, which is like a tax-free zone. And they've got loads of shops and supermarkets where everything's really cheap. So we went there just before we did the W trek and we bought loads of supplies. But for hiking, like, just take lots of foods that are going to give you, that are not too heavy to carry, but are going to give you like energy. So we took trail mix, like we took lots of nuts and dried fruit. And we also bought plastic Ziploc. We bought some like Ziploc bags. So we bought some tin foods, but distilled it down into bags that we could carry. Really sorry, my dog started barking
in
the background because my wife's
alive. I heard, yeah.
Yeah, so like you've got to think about what you're carrying. Like, don't give yourself too much weight to carry. Yeah. So we took like some tinned beans and things like this. Uh-huh. But if that sounds like a bit too rough, like sometimes you can have catered options. So on the W trek at the refugios, they do like you can buy meals and things like that. So you don't have to always carry all your food.
Okay. Well, I think that sums it up. That covers it up. Once again, we're gonna link up some information. Do you have information about Patagonia and websites and links and articles?
Yeah, sure. So we've got loads of information on our blog, Career Gappers. So we have a Patagonia itinerary article where we detail like different routes that you can take through Patagonia. Whether you're spending 1, 2, 3, or 4 weeks, we give different options for your itinerary, and we've got some various guides to the different places. So some of the places we mentioned, Ushuaia, El Calafate, Bariloche, Torres del Paine, we've got beginner's guides to all of these places, as well as like practical information about how to get around. So I'll provide some links that you can share in the notes.
There you go. So once again, really, really good information. If you're hungry for more, there is everything you can find in the description. Perfect. Alex, thanks so much. Great pleasure once again. I'm going to treat you with some more applause in a minute, but go spend some time with your dog now. Greet your wife. Welcome back. And thanks so much once again. I wish you a fantastic evening, Alex.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Pavel. Thank you very much.
And that's a wrap for yet another travel episode. Thank you so much for listening the whole thing. If you have listened that on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. That will mean a lot to me. Also, if you have a friend, a cousin, or a teacher, or anybody else who you think will be suitable for this series, please connect us and let's make this happen. Thanks so much once again. I wish you a fantastic day.